This is tape number 8, Levels of Thinking, Rebel Producer. In this tape, Len describes the fourth level of thinking, Rebel Producer thinking, which is typical of people during their teenage and early adult years, and of many of us during our 30s and 40s as we try to prove who we can be and what we can accomplish in our lives. Refer to Rebel Producer on handouts number 4, 5, 6, and 7.
And now let's talk about rebel producers. I have been accused at times in my life of being a rebel producer talking about rebel producers, and there's probably some truth to that. Basically, we move into this level of thinking when we need to leave home, when we need to prove who we can be as independent, autonomous adults in the world. This is a stage which, when we get tired of being a peacemaker, when we get tired of being who everybody else says we should be, that we get root bound and we crack our pot and we go potting around. We go out to see exactly what kind of pot we can create in the world. This process is never a straightforward process. There's a lot of back and forth motion where I leave home for a while and I get out there and it seems exciting, the new freedom, the new possibilities. But I'm out there for a while and then I start saying, I'm not sure I know how to do this. This seems kind of scary and hard. We try to go back home again, but we get back there and we've been there and done that. The house is smaller and the people are dumber, so we don't stay long. We set out again and we go out a little farther and a little longer. And again, at first it's exciting and then it gets scary. We try to go home. We do this back and forth motion. I see my kids doing this in their process of going to college and developing relationships and getting married and leaving home. I see people doing this in their professional life. I see people doing it in their marriages. It's a stage at which people separate, go through transitions, get divorces. I think we probably do this many different times in our life. Probably the first time that we go through this in some way is around the age of 2, when we learn to say no, when we begin to define ourselves separate from our mother. We go through this again when we begin school around ages 5 or 6. We do it at the end of high school or college whenever we leave home. And we do it probably during every decade of our life when we go through major transitions. It's the process of defining ourselves in the world. It's the process of knowing what substance we have for ourselves. Oftentimes in the beginning of this stage, or the beginnings of this stage, things oftentimes can feel disintegrating for us because what we've known in the past somehow doesn't work for us anymore, and we throw it away to create something new. So oftentimes this is a real tumultuous, it's an up and down time in our life. But that's a normal part of the process. It's a time in which we are willing to begin looking at ourselves and looking at our history of understanding ourselves. It's a time when people start asking questions about their history. It's a time where people in our culture during this time frequently will go into counseling to do therapy because they want to work out historical patterns and speed up their growth process. It's a time where we understand things but sometimes don't heal things. That what we found as our strength to move out of being peacemakers is that we got angry or we got tough. We got determined. It's typical for people in this stage to feel real determined. And as a result, where we associate our strength and our independence, our capability with staying tough and independent. And we're afraid of becoming soft. We're afraid of being gentle. We're afraid that if we operate out of our gentle strength, that somehow we'll be giving in and we'll be sucked back into being peacemakers. And then we'll have to live by other people's expectations or we'll have to take care of other people. And so we tend to be burnt marshmallows. We tend to be crusty on the outside, even though we're still gooey on the inside. We still need approval and we still need caring and we still need gentleness and warmth from others. Our thinking at this stage takes on an important developmental step. Our cognitive thinking at this stage is what we'd call critical, abstract, logical, or dichotomous thinking, binary, either-or thinking. That we tend to focus on differences as part of our process of differentiating ourselves, of, of distinguishing ourselves, we focus on separation, on what distinguishes us from others. And so it's typical that we will play yes but with others, where we'll go to somebody and ask them for advice, and then they tell us, and then we're quick to say, yes, but you don't understand. We tell them why their advice is stupid. I found myself a couple of years ago visiting one of my sons in school who had asked me to come to spend a weekend with him, and he was finding it difficult to stay in school. And I got sort of seduced into this because he would keep telling me what his experience was, and I was falling in the trap of saying, have you thought about this or have you thought about that? Fell in the trap of trying to give him advice. And at every turn, he would say, yes, but that wouldn't work, or that didn't, or you don't understand. And it took me 3 or 4 hours to catch the pattern that was going on, and for me to be able to say, so tell me what you want out of this weekend. Tell me what you need from me, because my giving you advice clearly isn't serving any purpose. It doesn't do us any good to argue about it. People in this stage oftentimes will take what somebody says, and they'll take it to the opposite extreme, or they'll exaggerate it. It's either all this way or all that way. So if a boss comes by and says, I need to clean up my work area, a likely response from somebody in Rebel Producer thinking is, well, I'm either going to spend all my time cleaning up my work area, or I'm going to get the job done I'm supposed to get done. It's like, that's not what the person was saying, obviously, but they take things to those kinds of either-or extremes. So they create impossible situations. The dichotomous thinking also gets reflected in totally focusing on one side of an issue and not looking at both sides equally. So I worked with a client a few years ago who determined that he needed to develop some new products for his marketplace. And as we were in the process of looking at what that developmental project was going to be and what the investment it was going to be, I kept saying, but what about distribution? You know, are you going to be able to get the product on the shelves? Is there distribution set up for this? And he kept saying, we don't have to worry about that. We just have to worry about creating the product. We need the innovative product. We'll get it on the shelves. Well, the reality turned out that after spending $1.2 million developing a product, it never got on the shelves because there was not distribution for it. That's typical of Rebel Producers who will so focus on one side of something and not look at the other side of it. What's also typical of this kind of dichotomous thinking is people at this stage refuse to justify themselves. They confuse or contaminate the difference between explaining themselves to others to make it easy for others to understand them with having to justify themselves to some peacemaker source of authority. And so typically they will get superior or dismissive, haughty, tough, rebellious. You know, I don't owe you any explanation. Who do you think you are? Don't tell me how you want it done. Just tell me what you want. People at this stage love to challenge authority. They love to challenge how it's been done in the past because they want to prove that they have a quicker, more effective, more efficient way to do it. Now, they don't want to be challenged, but they like to challenge authority. For people in this stage, life is very much an arm wrestling contest. Life's a test. It's a test to prove who they can be and what they can do that they haven't done before. And while they move with a great deal of bravado and try to convince other people that they don't need them and they can make it on their own, the fact is that inside they're oftentimes unsure of themselves. Underneath all that marshmallow crust is this person who's trying to prove himself or herself, who's not sure yet who they can be, and therefore it's not safe for them to let down their guard to do it in quieter, gentler ways. People at this stage also love to ask rhetorical questions. That's part of their challenging of other people. So this is a stage of entrepreneurs. It's a stage that people are frequently in when they go out and start their own businesses, create new projects. This is a stage of thinking that is that is sometimes useful and common for project managers. But the problem, the limitation, is that people in this stage don't wear well over time. They oftentimes are good for the innovation, for the risk-taking, for getting something new started. But they're not good at building sustaining structures or developing people over time. Rather, they tend to want to do it all themselves. They tend to not want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want limitations. They oftentimes don't deal with the reality that balance management calls for. They tend to burn people out. They tend to drive people too hard. They tend to have unrealistic expectations. They tend to be impatient. They will tell you that they do a lot of planning, but a great deal of that tends to be tactical planning that they do in their own head, that they then announce to other people. They tend to not feel like they have the time to really do the strategic planning in a collaborative way with others that builds sustaining structures and develops other people. I've worked with one of my clients for the last couple of years. It's a third generation business where the third generation son who is president of the company has been in conflict with the rest of the stockholders because he doesn't want a board of directors. Or if he's going to have a board of directors, he wants one that's just loaded with his cronies from this from a professional group that he belongs to, from a club he belongs to. He doesn't want family members on the board telling him what to do or limiting his salary or setting policies that would affect how he sets up compensation practices with his key managers. What he's done is built this core loyal team around him that won't challenge him and that he can drive to do what he needs done. And the result of that is that he's taken the company to the brink of bankruptcy, that he's pushed the growth excessively. He has kept two banks in the dark. He doesn't want anybody to have the whole picture on him, whether it's sharing financial information with his family or sharing the whole financial picture with the different banks. He doesn't want other family members in key management positions in the organization. He complains a lot about how much he has to travel and how hard he's had to work, and he talks about it being his company. But in fact, there are five shareholders in this company. It's not just his company. But it's typical of rebel producer thinking. They want it to be all theirs. They want all the credit. They'll drive and push and then resent when anybody else in any way and resist when anybody else in any way tries to put any limitations on what they're doing. People in this stage can also be sometimes confused with enforcers because they come across so tough and strong and demanding. But they're not enforcers. They're not out of control. They're not just reacting. They're not just being unconscious about what they're doing. They're not timeless. They're very much future focused. They're very much focused on creating results in the future, on proving who they can be and what they can achieve. And if they can do that by breaking the rules, that tends to make them happy. So their relationships tend to be arm's length relationships. It's a stage again, as I said, that people separate, leave home, get divorces, go out on their own. So they're afraid that to be close to other people means that somehow they have to give up themselves in some way. Their experience as peacemakers was that in order to have intimacy, they needed to either take care of other people or they needed to be accountable to or please other people. And that seemed too limiting because as in those kinds of peacemaker relationships, they also weren't free to be themselves or do what they needed to do. So they decide to push out and make it on their own. They don't know yet that they can share the journey with others. They don't know yet how to be intimate with others, how to be connected with others, and still maintain their own boundaries, how to have their own definition. They don't know how to be who they need to be and how to be with others and how to do it with others. This tends to be true in their personal life, and it tends to be true in their professional lives as well. power for rebel producers tends to come from what they can make happen, come from the results they can produce. If we go back for a moment and look at peacemakers, power for peacemakers came from their belief that people in authority were running the world, that somebody understood how it all worked, and that somebody was taking care of all those things. So there's a security that comes from that. There's a security that comes from believing that somebody's running the world and somebody has all the answers. When we're in rebel producer thinking, we don't assume that somebody has all the answers. In fact, we tend to be very critical and challenging and cynical about authority. We tend to throw away the past, throw away tradition, and believe that we have to reinvent it all ourselves. So there's loss in that. I see that a lot in professional people when they don't want to take in the ideas of external consultants or professional people. It's the not invented here syndrome. I see it in entrepreneurial managers who don't want to take any advice, who want to go do it on their own, who don't really want a collaborative management team. They just want people who will take orders. So in this stage, people tend to be pretty independent. They subscribe to the lake theory of management. If I'm going to hire somebody, I'll throw them out in the middle of the lake. If they can swim, fine. If they can't, I'll throw somebody else out. There's plenty of people to throw out in the lake. They don't really develop sustaining, mutually beneficial relationships with others. They're afraid to. They don't trust themselves enough to really take others in. They don't know the difference between taking others in and taking them on, so they don't take them in at all. As peacemakers, they took people on a lot. They took responsibility for others. And since they don't know how to just take people in, they just keep people out altogether. So they tend to be kind of tough banty roosters who are off doing it themselves and proving it to themselves. And they're off proving that they can create their own security in the world by the kind of results. If I'm a rebel producer, if I can make things happen, especially if I can make it happen on my own terms, then I feel safe. And I find it difficult to relax. It's difficult to not be producing. For rebel producers, when they stop working, when they stop producing, they tend to start feeling anxious. They tend to start feeling out of control. Their security comes from being productive and making things happen. So they tend to work a lot. They tend to stay busy. And they want everybody else to do the same thing. And consequently, again, it means they don't have a lot of time for personal relationships. Their need at this stage is to prove their competence and to have some kind of respect for themselves and respect from others for what they can do. It's very important that they be respected for their competency. People who sell at this stage sell competence. They sell what results they can produce for other people. And the other thing that they really need is they need to not be fenced in. They need to not be limited. They need to not be restricted. Their moral criteria is really focused on the ends, not the means. So if they can produce the results, if they can make it happen, if they can get it done, then that makes it morally okay to do. And in fact, as I mentioned before, if they can do it and bend the rules a little, if they can prove that they had a better way to do it, that gives them a certain amount of pleasure in doing it. So how do I know when I'm in this level of thinking? Well, I know I'm here when I feel impatient. I know I'm here when I don't have time to wait in lines or sit at traffic lights. I know I'm here when I say to myself, if I want it done, I have to go do it myself. Nobody else can do it as well as I can. I know I'm here when I'm forcing solutions instead of being patient with the process and taking the time to work it out with others. I know I'm here when I say I don't have enough time. I don't have time to do it with others. I don't have time to develop other people. I don't have time to stop and do the planning. I know I'm here when I feel like things are in either or extremes. Either I have to work all the time or the whole thing's gonna going to fall apart, or either I have to do it all myself or it's not going to work. I know I'm here when I want everybody else to get on my train, and I find it difficult to be a part of somebody else's train when I need to be the leader. I want it done my way. I know I'm here when I don't want to be fenced in, when I don't want to be limited by others, when I don't want to have to be responsible for others, when I don't have to take care of others. I know I'm here when life feels like a test, and I have to keep running as fast as I can to make sure I pass the test, and I don't have time to rest along the way. This is a really common level of thinking for many of us in our 30s and 40s. And it's probably more common for people in their professional life than in their personal life, though we certainly find it in both. We see that this has become an increasingly common level of thinking and relationship and performance in the United States over the last 20 years. Again, evidenced by all the rights movements, how people have become more forceful in speaking up for their rights. We've seen this clearly in the women's movement, of women moving into the workplace and pushing against the glass ceilings, of women sometimes dressing like men in the workplace in business suits, of women adopting the tough demeanor of men because they're trying to break into environments that have been prejudiced against them. We see evidence of this in the changes that have happened in many of our organizations, where they have moved out of being traditional peacemaker organizations into organizations that are striving to be more productive and be more effective as international competition has become a more critical factor for U.S. industry. So this is a very common level of thinking. We see it a lot in all the entrepreneurship going on in our country. So I invite you to be aware of how you see this reflected in relationships around you. I invite you to be aware of when you get intimidated or feel dismissed or put down by rebel producers in your life, especially rebel producers who are in positions of authority. You know that happens when you feel like it was stupid of you to even have raised the question, and you feel like a penny waiting for change. Be aware that they're just burnt marshmallows. They're still gooey. So one of the things you can do to respond to people in this stage is to sort of poke through the crust. People in this stage are developed enough that they can look at themselves and they can laugh at themselves. So use some humor. If you feel like you're being beat up by a rebel producer, go in and draw the boundary with them and say, "Look, bucko, there must be an easier way we can do this because you've got me bleeding kind of bad. Can't we find some way to do this together?" It sometimes requires that you're willing to be tough back with them, that you don't let them run over you, that you throw a stop sign up. If you're consistent and firm with them, and warm, and use humor, you can almost always melt them out of this and help them grow up in the process with you. So I invite you to be aware of the rebel producers that you encounter around you and to not be unnecessarily intimidated or run over by them. Be aware of when you tend to be a rebel producer. Be aware of when you believe you have to do it all yourself, or when you believe you don't have enough time. My guess is that you, in most instances, don't have to do it all yourself, that there are other people who'd be willing to collaborate with you, and that you do have the time to really do what you need to do over time. Once again, there is a worksheet that applies to this session. It's worksheet number 14 in your handbook. I invite you to take the time, you do have the time, to fill this out and to reflect on how you see yourself operating out of rebel producer thinking and the kind of results that creates in your life.
This is the end of tape 8. This is tape number 9, Principle 3, Understand Them, Don't Beat Them. In this part, Len describes what you can do to guarantee that you never